Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Such Good Shoot, the podcast about anything and everything wrestling. Tonight, we review WCW Spring Stampede 1997. Enjoy. Gentlemen, welcome to Such Good Shoot, the podcast about some wrestling shit. You know, that's how we do it around here. I'm not going with the big intro today. But, you know, as it goes, up there, we have your dear friend, our resident pothead, we have Isaac.
Oh, hello.
Over that way, coming to you from the humble town of Columbus, Ohio, home of the amazing Alexa Bliss, we have the sensational Shane.
Hello, hi.
Down from the very special land of the junkyard, and what do you say with DDJ? We have the one, the only, the Dennis Day Jr., otherwise known as DDJ.
Yo, what's going on?
Yes, and you know, as it goes, as always, I'm your incredible host, Dozer, bringing you the stogies and trying to keep this thing moderately, you know, somewhat under control, but, you know.
Yeah, good luck.
This is goddamn spring stampede.
I was going to say, there's nothing ever, this show and under control, that's what you call an oxymoron or something.
Yes. Yes.
No, it takes a former wrestler or something. That's the only way that this thing stays even keel.
But before we get even keeled here, we have to take a moment to honor New Jack. He has sadly departed this world. There's many varying opinions on this wrestler, and I think, needless to say, he was always out of control. So,
guys, I'm sorry I can't partake in the drinking of alcohol. You all know why. So.
Yes.
All good.
That is A-okay. That's why we've moved to coffee.
Ooh. Well, even if I put that stuff in a coffee mug, I still couldn't drink.
They don't have to know. It can be water.
You can fake it, you know.
I can fake it. Well, actually, that doesn't sound like a really good thing to say. Is I can.
Oh, I do. Yeah. Don't. So.
Cheers to you, Phil.
Well, I don't see. I messaged Dozer. I saw the tweet, and this is something that actually, like, I did not genuinely blew my mind. So I'm introducing a semi-occurring segment here called Isaac's Mind Blowers. It's kind of like Morty's Mind Blowers, but it's not a cartoon, but blew my mind. So Jack, my dad, and this is, I'll just read it, no context given other than the fact my dad's wife, talking about New Jack's and Polly Crown, wanted his son is a professional drag. I had no idea.
I think if I'm not mistaken, I think they talk about it on the Dark Side of the Ring feature they did on New Jack.
I don't remember that, but that blew my mind. And I also was a little bit I was like, damn, that's like kind of, I don't know, it's one of the few actual humanizer about New Jack, and something about
Dark Side of the Ring on New Jack is pretty good at that as well. Isaac, you and I watched it, right? And we talked about it.
I mean I still came away from that, but I mean at the same time, a lot of things way too far. But I think the real drink tonight, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but
no, you're good.
It's unfortunate. Yeah, 10 or 11?
10. So if you guys would allow me real quick, I'd like to share the one time I had an encounter.
Yeah.
So it was at ECW November to Remember 2000, which turned out to be the last show they would run in the Chicago area. My best friend and I actually had front row seats for the show, and as we got there, we went to park, you know, and when you get into where it was, the Odeon, you would have to literally, where you come in, you'd have to go to the other side of the building. I mean, it's not a big building, but you'd have to drive to the other side to park. And as we're driving by, like right where the main entrance is, well, in fact, I think is the only entrance they have, we saw New Jack there. And so it's like thinking, oh, that's cool, you know, New Jack's there. So you know, as we get parked, you know, we go walk to get in line, we go back by the front, and he's still there. So I go over, I'm like, hey, can I get a picture with you? He's like, yeah, sure. And I showed him my sign I made, and it said New Jack for president, because the election, the 2000 presidential election, was like 2 days after. So I'm just thinking, you know, what the heck is up? And he goes something along the lines of, man, that'd be some fucked up shit. So I'm like, can I get a picture? He's like, yeah, sure. So I hand the camera, my camera, to my best friend, and he's having issues with it. So New Jack, I mean, he was like, you know, like, you know, in a New Jack way, is like, you know, it's like, what's going on and stuff. So next thing you know, he starts mock humping my leg. He's like, hurry up, I'm trying to get 40 here. And it was just all in good fun and stuff. Eventually my friend got it figured out and I got the picture with him and stuff. But I mean, I know he gets a lot of, you know, there's a lot of people out there that have some not so kind New Jack stories, but it was that was a really funny and really cool.
And that's a good one. I like that one.
Yeah. I thought you guys would.
I enjoy humping.
Yes. And see, I think that's why I did this story. I shared it.
And, another thing that I really appreciate is, see if I can.
It's time for Sheik of the
Past. I love this.
Hell yeah.
Real quick, I want to get this out before I forget. Macho Man, actually, just to kind of tie this back around to the show, was actually born here in Columbus, went to like a year of high school here in Columbus, and then, you know, and then moved out. And then he's also in the main event of the show review. How about that?
There you go. Okay. Well,
and
I was just rushing Sheik of the Week because I really want to light my blood.
And to that comment there, Brandon, do not be surprised if all of a sudden your wife comes and kicks you. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, calling the dogs?
Yep.
So... the first Sheik of the Week this week, New Jack Bubba, you party A to the Z, and forever you make me laugh. I can't believe you gone, Bubba damn.
Bubba damn. Bubba damn.
Yes. And then as of 3 days ago, he said, you can stop looking for my fucking boot. It is up Hulk Hogan's ass. Hashtag WWE on A&E.
Well, damn.
Or, guys, if you don't follow the Iron Sheik on Twitter, self a favor.
You need to follow him. Follow.
Yeah, it's worth a chuckle.
Oh, well, they're not up to the same par.
No.
But I think that brings us to... Da-na-na, na-na-na.
Shane, have you watched They Live?
No, but I will be soon.
Breaking news.
Yeah, we got a patron, and that was the requirement.
Yeah,
Patreon.
Shane set the bar so low.
We could accomplish it.
I was really hoping it would be crypto, right? But then one of my buddies subbed without knowing that was the thing, and I already said what I said, so I guess I'm watching They Live.
So, yeah, in the next few weeks, once I'm off work, Shane and I, we're going to have it. Watch Shane watch it.
You know what? Just because, like I said, because you guys, again, know I'm going to have a lot of time on my hands coming up here in the next next few weeks and stuff. And, you know, next few months, actually. But I want to get in on that just to watch his reaction.
Yeah.
Fun with that. It's going to be a blast. Maybe that'll be a live view.
Yeah. Nice. We have a Twitch now. Nobody's watching us on it, but we have a Twitch.
No, that would be fun. We could do a live Twitch stream and we could let everyone enjoy Shane's sufferation at watching a movie that he's going to absolutely...
You know what? I'm just going to say, I actually, when I watched it a couple weeks ago, because it was one of the first movies I watched once I hurt myself and I was off work and I had all this time on my hands, I actually enjoyed it quite a bit.
It's a great movie. And the crazy thing is, like, you watch it now and it's, like, more prescient than ever. Like, you're like, Jesus Christ. It's
freaky. It happened yesterday.
It hits home. It hits close to home. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, that's going to come up. So keep an eye out for the, I think we just decided on a Twitch. We'll do something. We'll do something. We're going to have fun.
So,
it's going to be a good time.
Moving on from They Live, we sadly have... They no longer working for WWE. We had some NXT releases this week. I don't have the full list in front of me. There are a lot of people that had limited TV time to no TV time at all. But there are a couple that I would say are being mourned a little less than some others.
Yeah, you lost some talent that had been with the company for a while, too. Obviously, you lost the Velveteen Dream, and that's all I'm going to say about that. We also lost, like, Jessamine Duke, who is, like, one of the four horsewomen of, like, MMA. You know, she was part of, Rousey's kind of group that all came sort of together.
Marina Shafir and
Shayna
Baszler.
You lost her, and then you lost Alexander Wolf as well, which
that's a loss.
Yeah, I mean it's weird because he was in Imperium. But also, it never really made sense that he was in it. Like he never fit the mold of the group at all. And we, you know, I kind of shot that to the group, the fact that he had been released. And I think that sooner rather than later, Tim Thatcher turns on Ciampa and then just get Ringkampf again, just renamed Imperium. Like that's
wasn't Alexander Wolf though? Wasn't he part of Ringkampf back in the day?
No. That was Timothy Thatcher.
Okay, I could have sworn he was as well too.
Yeah. And then you have Axel Dieter Jr., who is the tall one with the hair. Marcel Barthel. He was, and then the shorter one, whatever his name is. Yeah,
Marcel the Shell with Shoes On. If you haven't seen that YouTube video, good shit.
Okay. We're just trying to burn through some topics here before we get to the main event.
One of those topics was definitely not Marcel the Shell.
No.
Marcel the Shell that lives in hell.
No, Marcel the Shell is something that's good shit. My kid loves it.
We do have something that set the business back 30 years.
Oh, God, do we have to talk about this?
The zombies. This is straight up Return of RoboCop. Marketing.
I'm gonna take this one over and get my feelings out.
Thanks.
Because I may hate this more than Isaac and Dozer.
Isaac hasn't seen it yet.
No, shut up. I did watch it. I absolutely did watch it. Are you kidding me?
Wow.
I watched it.
Oh, no, you didn't. No, you didn't.
I swear to God, I watched it. There was some.
Yeah, so I'm going to set it up real quick. Johnny Mundo, backstage, there is a dressing room that says Lumberjacks. He opens it up. It's Zom. He goes, whoa, man, are those like the Lumberjacks for the night? Okay. And then he just like opens it up and runs away. And then he like goes to the Miz and he's like, Miz, like listen, there's freaking zombies. Like, there's zombies. And the Miz, of course, is like, the fuck are you talking about? He's like, dude, there's zombies. So Miz and Damian Priest hit the ring. Lumberjacks come, and they're zombies. There is smoke. Thunderdome is changed into a post-apocalyptic wasteland. The announcers are freaking out. They run
Corey
away.
Corey Graves yelling dude, bad.
Yes. Yeah, the announcers run away. They come back to the table for some reason. The Miz and Morrison both end up getting eaten. And then the rest of the night, the announcers don't care. They act like it doesn't happen. Oh, I want to see that, DJ.
I hate to disappoint you guys, but he's a dirty liar.
Fucking Zubaz.
Drink.
Fucking Zubaz.
This is maybe the most mad I've ever been at WWE. And that's including sitting through the 5 hours of Saudi Arabia's the greatest royalist rumble of all the royal.
Oh, you watched that?
It was royal. Yes.
Titus World slide out of that.
Yeah, I mean, there's one okay thing. But this, there was no story going into it. There's nothing, there was no Halloween show. There was no anything. They just brought out zombies because Vince likes Batista and Netflix paid him enough money to do so. And it was infuriating as a fan. It made no sense anywhere. And it made me very angry.
And I hate to say it, I think the universe agreed with you because The Miz got eaten by zombies and The Miz got injured. The Miz doesn't fucking get injured.
Nope. Well, so did John Morrison. He got eaten by zombies, but he was okay the next day.
But that wasn't as clear as The Miz literally being swarmed in the ring and just eaten.
Yeah.
John Morrison kind of got pulled behind the barricade.
I think Vampiro summed up my thoughts.
I watched it.
I didn't watch it live, but once you said there were zombies involved, like, are you kidding?
You
think I'm not gonna go watch that train wreck, dude?
Just like, and I'll tell you what made it even worse is the fact that there was no blood anywhere. Like, they didn't sell it at all, and the rest of the night they just acted like it didn't happen. There's an active zombie outbreak. In whatever fucking sports arena they're in right now.
How great would it have been if somebody got busted open in the match and the Lumberjacks couldn't control themselves and just came into the ring to end it? Like, that would have been fucking better.
And that's the thing is, like, this is what this, and this is why it sucks. you could have gotten away with something like
And that's what I was talking to Wade about. That's why I said I was like, maybe another promotion that has like a wacky and wild verse already, you know, like their world, maybe it makes sense. And you know, and like I would have even let it slip if this was like a show, maybe a pay-per-view on Halloween. Like whatever, man, like I get it, it's hokey and it's stupid, but this was just such a fucking balls money grab. It was just so obvious, and it ruined the match, and I paid for it. Like, I paid for that without being told that's what was going on.
I think I got a new segment for you guys for this show. Things that are better than zombies, and you could do things like Vince Russo winning the WCW title, or...
I sent out apologize anything I've ever said bad about his book.
I mean this legitimately. The Gobbledygooker and the Shockmaster are both better things than that match.
So is Glacier.
But here's the thing. I think it was Russo was talking about the idea of like WWE doesn't about ratings.
Yeah, that was Russo. Yeah, yeah.
And like they only, you know, they sell their advertising, and they sell, like they did their fucking huge Peacock deal, etc. They just have to fill them. And so anytime somebody comes along and offers them a fucking chunk of money to do something stupid, they don't have to think about it. They're like, great, we just got paid X amount of dollars, and they wrote this fucking like 30.
Yeah.
And like they, because they, I think they genuinely have stopped caring at all what the.
They don't care about us.
No, nope, that's
no. Yeah, and that like.
I'm just glad that people are starting to like recognize it, because like AEW's like bad, like they do a lot of hoke, but this is up there, and I'm sorry, like, for me this isn't as bad. That was to me.
I thought. Money in the Bank was at least enjoyable.
No. This was so much worse than Money in the Bank. You can... Yeah, dude, it was so much worse. No, because this was clearly Vince receiving money to do something stupid. At least Money in the Bank was like homegrown, like WWE stupidity. In the interest of entertaining us, right? Like, there's nobody in the back that looked at this and went, you know what? People are gonna enjoy this, like... more than there's no way.
Yes, and that for me that is just one of why, that's because they were sitting back there being like, oh, and it was so fucking like, for me, and like this is the thing, is like with the zombie thing, and it was atrocious, it was really right, but for me, like, it was in a spot in the pay-per-view that wasn't that it wasn't made to feel him. It wasn't what the whole pay-per-view was based, and there wasn't anything at for real. Whereas like the Money in the Bank match, like there was a very clear fucking this is what's at stake. It's a title shot. You get a title shot anytime you want. Almost a guaranteed shot at the fucking heavyweight champion. Two people died in that match. Two people just like this one. They got thrown off a building and showed up the next day. And also there was a food fight in the middle. There was like a fucking bunch of bullshit comedy. And so by the end of it, the thing that's like the most important thing in your company, which is this title that represents being this shot at it, was made to be a joke. And that a food fight is somehow more important than a shot of running up and getting the brief. Whereas the zombie thing was, it was fucking a atrocious, but they've done tons of stupid. That's embarrassing. And to me, like, to have that long of a fucking goddamn pay-per-view focus on something that's supposed to be important, and you just take, oh, we'll have a fight here, and we'll have a fight.
Yeah,
you want all of Isaac's thoughts on the Money in the Bank? Go watch our Money in the Bank episode. If that is still, I'm not sure that's posted. No, that's posted to our YouTube.
I think it is.
It's really early.
It's old school.
Really early.
It's really early. It's really YouTube, shit. Yeah. But it's there. But
it's old school. But anyway.
That brings us to...
That's my rant.
The brand new segment of Dozer's Question of the Week, where I ask the panel here a question. They have no prep, no idea what it is, and we get their hot takes on it.
All right.
Now,
all right.
We're starting off with a softball question this week. What is the iconic SmackDown? When you think of SmackDown, what's the song that you think of?
Beautiful.
That's what I was going to say, beautiful people.
Dude, I can't even think of a SmackDown theme song right now. Let me just one second. You guys talk about the beautiful.
That's the one. And maybe it's in my head fresh because of the cover he had just on the first Raw's War of that, and then quickly drop. I mean, but I didn't watch as much SmackDown as I did Raw. I watched a lot more Raw just because of the time.
Okay, so I know my I Want It All, the one that started in 2003. And I won't be denied.
Yeah.
That one? Oh.
Was there a while where it was Green Day?
Yeah, yes. That was like 09. It was Know Your Enemy, dude.
Yes, God,
it was Know Your Enemy. For me, it is Rise Up.
Which one's that one?
I remember that one.
Rise Up. I can't do it well, but it was Drowning Pool doing it. Jim Johnson wrote it, then Drowning Pool did it for the majority of the run, and that was
minutes. Yeah. Mine was the one with the fist, right? Yeah, the fist.
That might have been right around the birth.
Yeah, that's why it kicks ass, because the fist is everything.
Yes. So, finally, we can get to tonight's main event, and that is WCW Spring Stampede 997. We open the show. There's a weird-ass Western set going on. There's some pyro like it's being shot up, and, you know, it happened.
WCW. Wait till we get to like Road Wild or Hog Wild from this year. Like, you two are not gonna know what to do. That shit's at the fucking bike rally in Dakota or whatever. Sturgis. They held multiple pay-per-views.
Yes. Oh my god! Right, and everyone's just sitting on motorcycles, revving.
They're just revving, dude. They're insane to watch.
Holy shit! Yes, dude.
The main event of like the main event of the first one, which might have been 97, was like Dennis Rodman and Hollywood Hogan versus some other basketball star and Lex Luger maybe. DDJ.
Sorry, say that again. I was a little distracted with something going on. I apologize, guys.
No, you're good. The first spring Stampede main event, wasn't that Rodman and Hogan versus like Karl Malone and Lex Luger or DDP or something?
No, actually, the first Spring Stampede main event was Ric Flair versus Ricky Steamboat.
Not Spring Stampede. My bad, buddy.
The Sturgis one, the motorcycle.
Road Wild, Hog Wild, they renamed it.
No, the first main event for that was Hogan versus the Giant. That was when Hogan won his first title as the leader at the NWO.
Oh, so that would be 97. Okay.
Well, that was 96.
Was that 96?
Yeah, because it was like about a month after the NWO form.
Oh, okay. So 97 is probably Hogan and Rodman versus Luger or DDP and Carl.
97 Bash at the Beach was Hogan and Rodman versus Luger and the Giant. 98 was DDP and Carl Malone versus Hogan and Rodman.
Oh, okay. Fuck. All right.
And then Road Wild 99 was Randy Savage versus Dennis.
You are insane, sir. I don't
know how you know all of that off the top of your head, but
damn. I do. The wrestling. He is.
Well,
all I gotta say, and I fucking love you. Just want to give a shout out to our boy. What do you say with DDJ? I really do appreciate you coming.
Well, you know what? I'm just gonna say like this. You know, I stick with my friends. You know, I try to be as loyal to my friends as I can be. The ones that actually stick by me, the ones that actually care about me outside of, you know, this crazy little thing we call pro wrestling, and you guys more so than a lot of other people, you know, out there. And stuff like that, you know, really exemplify that, because I mean, I hear from you guys all the time asking how I'm feeling, you know, because again, you guys know I've got, you know, something going on next week that I'm a little worried about and stuff, you know, and you guys have been nothing but supportive. So yeah,
see, absolutely. Everyone, we are good people behind everything else. We promise. We don't fake that. Yeah.
I'm not gonna make any claims, but I mean, because that, what is that but a subjective thing? But I do try.
We always put out this, you know, we don't care about anything, but you know, we actually care about stuff. You know,
I care about tequila, weed, and titties, baby. Woo!
There you go. We're back on the horse, baby. Yes. Ultimate Dragon. Let's go.
Speaking of tequila, that brings us to Rey Mysterio Jr. versus Ultimate Dragon. No, there are no spelling mistakes. This is how WCW spelled this.
It made me so mad.
Yeah, I know. I thought that's watched.
I don't remember if it was Shivani or Tanay. I think it was Tanay, but it's like the Ultimate Dragon, or as you could say, the Ultimo Dragon. It's like, why didn't you just call him the Ult? Fuck.
Yeah, it's unreal. Great fucking.
So good.
It was so good. What a great way to start a pay-per-view. And I was like, coming
best
off
match
of
on the card.
And coming off that last garbage fucking pay-per-view we watched, it was a breath of fresh air. As weird as everything is, watching a WCW pay-per-view compared to a WWF pay-per-view at the time, because it really did feel fucking ADD as hell. Like, I don't know, dude. It was like, boo, boo, boo. Like Jesus Christ. Like, it really did feel like they were trying to fucking nonstop go almost to a fault. But this first...
Yeah, go ahead, take the reins.
You know, but before I came on tonight, I was just given a quick... The 83 Weeks podcast, where they talked about this pay-per-view, and even they were saying this is by far the best match of the card. The cruiserweights really shined here. You know, I
so both good. Both cruiserweight match whooped ass.
Yes,
there was a lot of good, like, in ring the matches themselves for the most part. Like, three quarters of the match good, but then every finish,
the finishes were horrible. But you're that's
gonna,
WCW.
Yeah, I was going to say it's WCW. You're going to start seeing why, like, work rate people watched WCW over WWE if they weren't going to, you know, go watch Japanese bootlegs or whatever. Because WCW, more than WWE at this time, did give some amount of play to, like, actual workers.
Yep.
And their cruiserweight division is what kept that company alive for as long as it did. Because without the cruiserweight division, it's just a bad ripoff of WWE. And that's the bottom line. Like,
yeah. I will say, at least WCW at the time, while I hated the commentary because it talks like this much about the match, they are very good about keeping going without breaking the pace of the show.
And those guys are all, like, I mean, Dusty is Owen, Schiavone especially.
Really that kind of, like, veteran workhorse, right, that never really gets the credit he deserves and might not start every season, but, like, is teaching someone something. You know what I mean? He's like Josh McCown in the NFL. I know DDJ will get that reference, obviously the fucking brain dude.
Yeah, and he's, I mean, like, even at that point, like, you
just
can tell he's incredible, but you can also tell, like, that was the thing I could tell the most about Bobby at that point.
I think he pretty much was open about her. Like, any stories you read about him was that at that time he was basically, I think he even himself came out and said, I think he just went down there for the money.
Yeah, and I mean, you could just tell, like, and he was like, he would just be like, yeah, whatever. Like, even at the very end of the pay-per-view, like, Schiavone's about to say something, he just cuts him off to say his own thing. And, like, Schiavone is just giving, what the fuck, man? Like you completely stopped. Like, yeah, dude, he did not.
But that's why I think it worked so well in WCW, because he's just fucking talking. And like I said, the Bobby the Brain Heenan in WCW around this time especially is the king of just talking about nothing and making you care about it. Like, he is just babbling the entire time, and it's just the wonder.
True.
100%. Right? I think it's
real,
time we give our ratings to this match.
Did we actually talk about the match? I don't think we did.
It was a really good opener. It was a really fun opener. It was a great way to kick off the show.
There was a lot going on. I mean, like, any book, but, I mean, again, this was, might have been one of, like, fucks, maybe, because it was an actual, like, real finish.
I think it may have been the only one, really, other, well, even if you count what happened in the main event, I think it was the only one that was pretty clean throughout. I think everything else, some sort of shenanigans or something.
Yeah, it was either fucking what's bound and down was the ref. Or something was going down.
Fucking Nick Patrick, man.
I know, but
Nick Patrick.
The cutoffs, the mullet.
Eastbound and down.
but it was like a, what, almost 15-minute match, just shy of Ray hit the Rana at and got fucking solid our match. And I was genuinely, like, excited. Oh, shit, this is who's starting this pay-per-view? Because I started watching it basically right after watching that
one. Yeah, a couple big takeaways from this one. I love that Ultimo Dragon really took, like, a step down from high flying, because he was, like, the old veteran that's going to beat the shit out of this newcomer, you know, relative newcomer, new face on the scene, hotshot kid, Rey Mysterio, which is really weird to hear.
Junior.
Rey Mysterio Jr., yeah. I just really like the fact that he tried to ground him, because he realized that, like, Rey Mysterio is, like, this savant of flying, you know, especially at this, do whatever he wants. I really liked that about the match, and I liked how much they put over Rey's flying in the same, like, respect as well. Like, it meant so much to Ultimate Dragon to not let Rey Mysterio fly, that the only thing Rey Mysterio could do to win was fly and hit him out, you know, hit him with some bullshit out of nowhere. This match was really, really good, and I think it's an underrated match in both men's catalogs. You don't really ever hear people talk about it, like when you hear the best match, Dragon. I think it's like a 4.25 to me.
Yeah, I mean,
it's that good.
Yeah, it was really good. I'd say I'd give it a solid 4.
I'm gonna give it a 4. You know, I didn't talk about it much. I'll give it a 4.
All right.
So hey, Dozier, the infamous promo's playing on your TV right now.
Oh.
Speaking of which, yeah, they edited.
They went with the Turner Home Entertainment edit.
They really did.
It was not edited on the network.
It's just such a bummer. It's just such a bummer.
Did all of our hosts agree with Meltzer? For the most part, yes. Yes, we did. They gave
4?
He gave it a 4.25.
Oh.
Shane, spot on, so you know what that means.
I'll drink to that. I'll take a shot.
That brings us to our next match, which is for, if I remember correctly, this the women's title, but is it the women's cruiserweight title?
No, it's the women's heavyweight title.
It's the women's, WCW World Women's Champion. Yeah.
Okay.
It was the heavyweight. They kept calling it the heavyweight.
Yeah. They harped on heavyweight the entire match on commentary. I remember that.
Sonny Ono with the camera, incredibly racist, but also very funny. Racism was funny. But I swear to God, dude, like all the fucking Japanese women wrestlers they brought in were terrible.
Yeah,
like,
that was
legit.
The whole thing. Is that
we
they
didn't
could
see a lot
work.
Of it back then.
Like, here's the bottom line, right? Is they had to portray them in a scary way because they could actually work. And I'm not saying Medusa is a stupid bimbo, but like a lot of the stupid bimbos they had wrestling them, like they're just going to beat the piss out of them because they're not going to look weak against, you know, Jillian Hall, you know, right? You know, they're not going to, you know, look weak against, like Nydia. Not that Nydia's a stupid move. You know what I mean? But like, they're not going to look weak against these girls. So of course they're going to be.
Hey, can I just, I'm sorry. Can I rewind for like just a minute and
rewind?
Talk about Lee Marshall trying to enact real quick.
Oh,
and the Steiner brothers showing up out of nowhere and fucking
one Steiner.
Scotty hitting a cop or whatever and then getting fucking pepper sprayed.
Oh
like
my God.
30
yeah.
seconds.
Forever. Yeah.
Oh, incredible. Incredible. All I could think of was fucking next Friday and fucking it takes 20 minutes. I've been sprayed 9 times. It takes 20 minutes. You gotta get the hose. You got 19 to go.
The two things that bother me about that is one, did that take place in the Rey Mysterio match or was that the one
after? Right,
okay.
After. There was one right before, I think, and one right after.
Also, why did Nash get arrested for spitting on someone? I think that's assault in all 5/8.
What do you think, Nat?
Oh, well, he thinks that Scott Hall had to be written off this pay-per-view for other reasons.
And then they also kept talking about how, he just wasn't around and this was when he was just no-showing, right?
He was no-showing. He was dealing with personal problems.
Personal problem.
We'll leave it at that because we don't want to talk ill of personal problems. If you need help, get help.
Yes,
that is the most important thing. It doesn't matter what the problem is. Find help and get it.
Yeah, places to go get help.
There's plenty of places.
And then what about the place? Are there places for people like Isaac that clearly can't get enough help?
No, Jesus.
If we ever need a sponsor... No, this would be a great spot for BetterHelp Doc sponsor us.
Right, but instead we're fucking...
They
we're,
don't sponsor us, so we'll just continue.
We do have one sponsor, though, and that's the Credit Union of Northern Tennessee, and we want to give them a quick shout-out.
Yes, thank you to the Credit Union of Northern Tennessee. Can we please rate this match between the woman whose name I cannot pronounce and Medusa, or talk about it, or... do anything about this match.
Just do another blur. We didn't talk about it at all again.
We talked about the mace, though, in the pepper.
It was a 5-minute match. It could have gone on a little long.
Yeah.
I'll give it a strong half, and I'm probably being generous.
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing is, like, the first, like, 2 or 3 minutes of the match, like, literally commentary did not talk about it at all. Like, they were just talking about anything but... I think like they were just focused completely on the fact that Scott Steiner got peppered. And then And then Tony like finally brings it up and fucking and like they're like, oh yeah, I guess we should probably talk about this. But yeah, it was pretty crap. It was pretty fucking shitty all the way around.
Yeah.
And Luna Vachon just showed up for like a quarter.
Yeah, and then they botched the
power bomb.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, the botched power bomb that looked like a power bomb, but
my favorite part of this was Sonny Ono like doing the worst little bitch slaps on Medusa's head, like little kid slaps. He's like, da-da-da-da-da-da. And then Bobby the Brain Heenan is just going on about how he's like working her or whatever. And Tony Schiavone goes, "You do not hit a lady, Bobby," and like just like moves on.
Oh god, match not good.
Not good. No, it's a skip. There's no reason to even why.
If we start skipping at this match,
it was
there's a
match.
Lot of skips.
No, it was a match.
It was a half. It was not good. There wasn't anything about it that's worth ever going back. You didn't even get. I mean, I guess the only thing is positive is you got to see Luna Vachon's ass, and you didn't have to.
Yeah.
Because Luna Vachon had fucking ass. I'd eat a mile of.
Well, that's 1 mile. That's 1 mile more shit I eat.
Yeah.
But then there are people like you that would eat a mile of somebody's shit, and it's kind of.
Have you seen her ass, dude?
No. Oh, Dozer, we might be getting into territory here.
Just saying.
Well,
but yes, half a star. I'll give it 3/4 because I'm going to give a quarter.
Okay. I'm going to give it a whole star.
Yeah, 1 star. It was a match.
Yeah, DDJ, have you given this a rating?
1.5 he gave it.
I gave it 1.5 and I was being really generous.
Sorry,
you gave
I got
it a half star.
I got
that,
taken
dude.
Off track because booty. And you know what? We all failed. The Meltzer gave it 2.5 stars.
2.5? What realm of the...
Dude, you know Medusa was playing.
The multiverse.
I don't know. But that brings us to our next match.
Meltzer's always been full of shit, dude. Yeah. That is no way. There is absolutely no any fucking
Prince Iakea, Prince Iakea.
Prince Lee Iacocca taking on Steven Regal for the WCW World Television Championship.
Fuck, we need to fuck Dave.
We can't afford his lawyers.
Don't you guys have one?
No, we have a fuck Vince. Russo.
Oh, that's right. And then
a fuck Kevin Dunn.
I believe
there is actually on Pro Wrestling Tees, I believe there's one in the something to wrestle with store. I believe there's an FDM shirt on there, and it's in the NWO style.
Nice.
I may need that shirt.
I think we all might need that shirt.
We make like a fuck Jim Cornette shirt just to like round
out
the trio.
Because we
No, we don't. No, we don't. You might with your little.
No, I don't want a letter from Stephen P. New.
Yeah, I'm not dealing with Stephen P. New, bro. Hell no.
But you know, before we get into this match, just something I want to address. Before the pay-per-view, on their way there, Steven Regal and both of the Benoits were in a car accident that the car flipped multiple times before getting to the show.
Yep.
Wow.
And they actually talk about that shit on the Superstar line or whatever they called it for
WCW hotline.
Yeah, because there was at one point fucking Mean Gene was pimping it. And he's like, there was a car crash involving two
Superstars.
If you want to find out all the details, you know, like, but if you're a kid, ask for parents' permission.
Yeah,
but call. Yeah, and then he goes back.
So this is going to beg a question here. Did any of you guys ever call the WCW hotline?
No.
I didn't watch WCW.
They didn't watch WCW, and I wasn't alive.
I didn't watch, and I didn't call
WWF
hotline either. I didn't call the Superstar line either. Because I knew that if I fucking called the 1-900 number, my parents would fucking murder
me. Yep.
And it was not worth finding out fucking what was going on with the British Bulldog and fucking Owen Hart. You know, to fucking get my ass whooped by my dad for fucking spending $85.
Well, I never called either of those. I can say at a party once, maybe we did call Miss Cleo.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Ooh. Oh, shit, bro. I love... Call now for your free psych. So good.
Oh, what's your name? You should know.
Yeah, what is your name, man?
I'm a woman. Prince Lee Iacocca.
Yeah, Prince I
have no idea.
The Rock's clone.
I was gonna say he's WCW's version, you know,
Rocky Maivia.
Yeah, Rocky Maivia. That being said, he goes on, maybe at the end of this year, maybe early in 80, he turns into the artist formerly known as Prince Iaukea.
And then
he becomes Gold Dust, and it's a really weird thing.
What a great note. But like, honestly, when I was reading that, because I was like, who the fuck is this guy? And I checked out his Wikipedia, and when I saw he went from Prince Aya fucking whatever Majaga to fucking Aya Cocaine. I know. I'm sorry. It's because I'm
Jewish.
But the Iaukea, Prince Iaukea, but like the idea of going from Prince to the artist formerly known as is a fucking.
He ends up. Paired with Paisley, who would end up going on Charmel Booker's wife.
okay.
How about that for some DDJ knowledge up in the brain? But this match was also pretty fucking good. It wasn't as good as the opening match. And it was really just a Lord Steven Regal led, you know, kind of just babyface heel romp. You know, William Regal, Steven Regal this time is doing all of the heel shit. He's talking shit to each corner of the crowd.
Yeah, he goes out of the ring and spends like a minute working the crowd.
He's taking his time, but it's not boring. It just makes sense because of the way he's carrying himself.
It was a clinic on how to establish yourself as the heel of the match.
In this match had my favorite from the whole pay-per-view. And it's stupid. I don't know why it's all legitimate. And there was a point after a lockup where William Regal like calls the ref, get over here. And like very big. And he's like, he punched face. And he's like, this is bullshit. And I don't know what it was about that moment. He like so obvious. Just was like, I mean, it's just perfect. It's like perfect heel. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I don't know, dude. I fucking love it. And I think that was like, I messaged the group. I was like, God, the fucking best. He's the best.
Oh, yeah.
He's one of the best heels of all time.
But I think so much of his work was not appreciated when he was. But now looking back, it just shines so much better.
I mean, he is legitimately one of the best heels.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, yeah, Steven Regal, William Regal, he's one of those guys that it's almost like I can't remember who was saying the song, you know, don't know what you got till it's gone. But he clearly falls in that category where you don't know what you got till it's gone and stuff. So,
and even now on it with like what minimal brings so much credit.
Yeah, you know what the fuck you need.
He's the only tolerable authority figure, period. End of
story. Yeah, I mean, and really the turning point for NXT was them firing Jibble, and then the moment William Regal got hired, it clicked, and they became just this factory.
The fact that Jibble was ever the commissioner.
They put that idiot in charge of any.
And even if it's kayfabe fucking it makes no sense to have
he's
the guy
not the person you want promoting the young talent.
You don't want him anywhere near the young. You don't want him anywhere. Keep that motherfucker in his fucking bed. He was fine. Like, he had the best clothesline of all time.
But anyways, back to Lord Steven Regal versus Prince Iaukea.
Yeah, like I said, my favorite moment from the whole match. Yeah. The match itself is fine. Iaukea didn't impress me that much, but Regal's great.
Yeah. I mean, Regal obviously can't. I don't remember who won.
Prince Iaukea.
Regal.
Because he puts him in like the Regal stretches after the match. Yep. It was just a good match that Prince Iaukea had no reason to be involved in, but he was. And it was like, I don't know, like a 3.25.
Two!
Yeah, I gotta say, it was
No, it was so much better than a 2. Get out of here, man.
I'll give it 2.75.
Regal was great, but I echo the...
Well, I hate to say it to you, we've all been more generous than the Dave Meltzer.
Oh, really?
He gave it 1.5.
It was so much better than that fucking... Woman's match. Christ,
and you know what?
Man, I actually like this match. Like, I don't think I'd go back and like necessarily watch it again, but I think it's like a one-time watch. They told a good story. The work was fine.
Like it. It just wasn't. It was.
You know what? That brings us to this match where we had the public enemy. That is how it was written, versus Steve Mongo McMichael and the worst wrestler who can actually wrestle, Jeff Jack.
I fucking hate
Slap Nuts.
I gotta come out. The reason I hate Public Enemy is a weird one. I am a old school hip hop, and literally like first rap group I ever fell in love with is Public Enemy. So anytime I hear Public Enemy, I think of Chuck Flavor Flav, Terminator, you know.
Not two middle-aged white guys going.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, okay, obvious fuck. And yeah, I don't know. It is what it is, but I don't like
Flyboy Rocco Rock.
I literally remember none of this actual match.
Flavor. It was fucking rubbish, dude.
Flavor Flav? Flyboy Rocco Rock is in Public Enemy. The other one, Johnny Grunge or whatever.
Yeah.
Flavor Flav.
Yeah, dude. He's also on Flavor of Love, weirdo.
Yeah, he's on a bunch of embarrassing shit, for sure.
But, yeah, this match was really bad. Mainly because Steve Mongo McMichael is just really terrible. He was always bad in the ring. He was never good in the ring. It's really one of the first just, like, it's not really nepotism, but it's, like, star-related nepotism where you just forget how bad they are and you just let them go. This guy was part of the, like, the Four Horsemen, man.
And what was it?
Four Horsemen.
And it was just because he...
Oh, no. I'm going to stop Dozer right there. That was not the worst four iteration of the Four Horsemen.
There's worse?
Yeah, don't forget the time. I'm talking about the time when Paul Roma was part of...
Oh,
no. Geez.
So wait, so Mongo McMichaels...
Yeah, absolutely. He was just done with football, and he wasn't even like a huge star at that point. He was like a good player. You know what I mean? Like he's never making the NFL Hall of Fame.
I mean, it wasn't like he was a good player on. Did he win? He won a.
I don't know.
20.
DDJ.
Super Bowl 20.
I'm sorry, say that again.
Mongo won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, he was part of the 85 Bears, and then if I'm not mistaken, I'll look it up real quick. I know he was in, I think the last year he played, I believe he was on Green Bay. So I'm looking up to see if he may have been. I don't think he was.
No, I think he only won that.
I'm looking to see if I can.
Because I was looking up, I was like, and they literally made a reference to him as being fucking Mongo from fucking Blazing Saddles.
Yeah. That was Super Bowl 20 was the only one he won. So, but he did have a year. His last year.
Guys, I had my own DDJ.
Woohoo! Welcome to the club. Your DDJ cherry has been popped.
Woo! Oh yeah, it was another fucking just abs fuck all the way around. There was a moment where fucking they literally like one of I don't even remember who it was who fuck hit him with the fucking chair. Maybe it was McMichaels or Jared, but hit one of the Public Enemy dudes with a chair.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy just literally turned around and like started hitting Jared, threw Jared into the stairs and put him on the table because they wanted to do the. He hit him in the back of the fucking head with a chair. And like Public Enemy completely no-sold it. I don't remember. Completely no-sold it and went right into their own. I was just like, wait, what? But yeah, that match was terrible. It was probably the.
I'm not giving it a rating. No rating. I don't remember the match. No rating.
Wow.
I'll give it. And this is mainly because I'm a Chicago Bears guy. You know, I love Steve McMichael is actually my favorite Chicago Bear of all time. And, you know, shout out to Mongo, who is, you know, battling ALS right now and, you know, in a fight for his life and stuff. So best wishes, you know, to get well and stuff. But I'll give it a half star.
Yeah, it's absolutely a half star match. It's not good.
And you know what? We all still rated it higher.
Really?
What did he give it?
He gave it a quarter star.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right.
It was a match.
It was a match.
And that brings us to our next match, where we have the man of 1,000 holds, Dean Malenko, taking on Wrestler Redacted? Oh, no. Chris Benoit.
Crispin, dude, this match was fucked. I wish they had a real finish to it because the match itself was so good. And then they fucking literally fucking ended it with a goddamn no contest.
Just,
no contest? Are you kidding me?
It was just, dude, the ending of it was just out of control insanity, man. You had fucking Jacqueline. You had, who was it?
Jimmy Hart.
Jimmy Hart. It was Jimmy Hart. There was
Jimmy Hart. You had Eddie Guerrero. You had Kevin Sullivan. You had
not Macho Man, but like it was like the whole fucking NWO bullshit.
Kevin Sullivan. Well, no, because in that match it was
Kevin Sullivan.
All the run-ins. It was Jacqueline. It was Kevin Sullivan, Jimmy Hart, Eddie Guerrero. I think that might have been it. I don't think there was anybody else.
Arn Anderson?
Oh, yeah, Arn Anderson.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was like...
Yeah, but that was like Eddie coming down. Yeah. They were like, oh, Eddie's got the title now.
Yeah.
And it was so, like, the end was full. It's one of those things where, like, up until, like, the very last, like, maybe the last.
Yep, exactly.
Like, these two guys, like, you could just do a 3-hour better than any, like, Dean Malenko with that young Chris Falk. Incredible rest. Incredible. And it's, I mean, it's crazy that, like, that's how you decide to finish this match. And, like, right behind you, you see Dozer. There's Eddie being dragged out by Jackie and Arn and Sully, and you're just like. None of it made any sense. None of it made any goddamn fuck.
Yeah,
they had like, that. They had that suplex spot on and onto the floor.
Yeah, I just caught on Dozer with three.
He dunked him.
Holy shit, dude! I thought someone was gonna die. Yeah, it was so like, scary.
The fun thing is like. I know this wasn't being billed as a cruiserweight match, but for WCW, this is still a match. I mean, these guys maybe have moved on, but like both of the cruiserweight matches were like based around respect, right? Like, you know, Ultimo Dragon respects Rey Mysterio, so he's going to ground him. And yeah, he might beat the shit out of him and do some, like, I'm a veteran, you're a little boy things. You know what I mean? But, like, Dean Malenko and Chris was the same thing. It was just, for the first bit of it, it was all holds. It was all submissions. It was, I'm going to make you tap out. And then as the match goes on, you have, you know, Tony talking, oh, you know, we're going to see these holds diminish because, you know, they're getting tired. They can't put them on. And then they, you know, they get into the striking. And then Tony and the Brain are explaining that, the chops from Benoit only wake Dean up. They're not doing any actual damage.
That was so
good. It's just wake. It hurts. You know.
Does it ever hurt, baby?
Yeah.
But boy, do they ever. Yeah, no, that was not all that commentary. Yes, absolutely. That moment caught because I was like, dude, that is fucking great comment. Chops like that only served to wake. It's like, fuck. What a great worst possible. For me, like, it would have been easily a 4-star match if they had. They could have done something dusty, but they didn't need to go that. It was three. It ended up being 3 stars. They lost a whole.
You know, I was going to say the same thing because I was actually thinking about, like, when I was watching this earlier today, I thought about that, like, exactly the same mindset, Isaac. It's like you and I are sharing, you know, I guess a brain or something, whatever you want to call it, in that.
Sure, we can share.
You have a brain,
we can share whatever because, you know, I mean, it's not like I've got much else going on in the world of podcasting right now.
But, we're gonna fucking.
But I literally thought that exact same thing myself when I watched it. It's like up until the ending, that was easily a 4-star match, but that ending. Yeah, knocked it down a star. So yeah, 3 stars for me as well too. And it's just because of that ending that ruined what was a really
This match to me is a 3.5-star match, and it's what I would have rated it before. But unfortunately, I do think that I overrated Lord Steven Regal versus Prince Iaukea match. I'm gonna adjust now.
Wait a minute, ladies and gentlemen, breaking news. Adjusting. First time ever, Shane's admitting he's wrong.
Fuck yourself. I realized just how silly this was. Benoit versus Malenko is a 3.5-star match. I think it would have been a 4 to a 4.25 without the funky finish. I don't feel comfortable knocking it down a whole star. That being said, Iaukea versus Lord Steven Regal will be knocked down to a 2.75.
Oh, wow.
Just to, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm
perfect.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know,
I was caught in the heat of battle.
No, I am drinking to the fact that.
Yeah, that is a good reason to drink. I am going to give this.
And this is a good. Wait, hold on. This is a great opportunity to tell Erin.
Oh.
Because she's going to like this moment, too.
Oh, wait. So you want me to tell Erin that I love her after I admitted I was wrong? That doesn't seem. Okay. Hi, Erin. I love you. Those are rated.
I'm going to give it 3.5. I rather enjoyed it. It's one of the few matches the commentators actually talked about the damn match, which considering out of the 2 times I watched the show, the 1 time I am just kind of watching while I'm working. So I rely a lot on the commentary to tell me what the fuck's going on.
Yeah, and so if you're not...
If the commentary's just going on about random bullshit, I'm getting nothing of the match. So, you know what? Isaac, what did you give this match?
I think I gave it a 3. I think I knocked a whole star off from 4.
Yep, me too.
Okay, so we have literally, if we average our ratings together, agreed with the Meltzer. 3.25, the Meltzer gave it.
You give it a 3.5-ish?
Yeah, I gave it a 3.5. We both gave it three and a half.
Split like this, asshole. Look, here, over here. 3, 3.5. Oh, actually, no. It was
straight down the middle.
I'm sorry. My bad. Sorry.
It's all good.
Oh, can I just take 1 second? I know we're going a little long today, but I didn't acknowledge Dozer. You pointed in the right direction every time.
He absolutely did.
During our intro today.
He's gone crazy.
I was looking for the fucking perfect moment, and then I started getting stoned, and I started getting drunk. And I forgot, but right now I remembered. I gotta say, dude, that was incredible. So props to you.
I practiced before the show.
He's got arrows taped on his desk.
I do not. But you know what? At least, while I may point the wrong direction, at least I am not having a singles match for the WCW Tag Team Championship, where we have Kevin Nash taking on Rick Steiner.
Boy, did it suck.
Did they beat Maybe fucking Steiner? It was a match about Nick Patrick.
Dude, and that story, so don't feel bad because this story, well, through this year, it continues in the night. No, but this story continues, like, for pay-per-view. So you're going to see it, man. This is the long-term booking that your bitch ass wants. So, you're seeing this.
Yeah. It was, yes, this... As much as Shane hates the Steiner brothers, like, they deserve better.
What? When do I hate the Steiner brothers?
Anytime they wear a mission.
Oh, well, yeah, because, you know, that's a fucking shitty school for dumbass people.
All right, don't pretend like this established thing, Steiner brothers. I'm not crazy to think this. But no, they deserve better, and
Have just beaten Kevin Nash on this night, and then they could have figured something else out. But they should have combined shit out of Kevin Nash, and then they could have dropped the titles after a month when they figured out what they wanted to do with the
NWO. Pepper spraying fucking Scott and all the other bullshit.
It's really bad. This match was really WCW. So overbooked. There was outside shenanigans, like real outside life shenanigans. Like, just overbooked to hell. It was WCW as a concept. Especially around this time. And I don't really think it deserves much at all.
It's not worth talking about.
No,
yeah,
this
the
is
only
a,
thing that was worth talking about is Neil Patrick. It was 1 star because
are you talking Neil NPH, Neil Patrick Harris?
Who the fuck is Neil Patrick?
Well, Nick Patrick. Sorry. Dude, you know what time I'm
right. Dude, about sad. Fucking 11:30 in the morning.
This fuck was some, like, legitimate... Like, the Nick Patrick stuff was somewhat... And
well,
that's
the 10 dB... The Ted DiBiase stuff, especially with the NWO at the time, was, like,
I don't know. That was it, though. Like, the match itself, meh. Nothing exciting. But yeah,
This is a 0.5 star match because they could have accomplished this on a WCW Nitro and not taken time out of the pay-per-view event.
Yeah.
Now, question to you, gentlemen. Do you feel like this is what... Because if I'm not mistaken, not too long after this is when DiBiase, went to the Steiner side, right? Is this kind of like the start okay,
because he walks away
because the whole story is Kevin Nash is taking it too far, even for the people that helped him take it too far. He's like going above and beyond, and then Six Pac is like, hell yeah, man, keep kicking his ass. And then Ted's like,
have been in WCW much longer.
I think that wasn't too much longer after this was when he got injured, and that was basically once he had the neck injury, he was essentially done.
And then he showed it back.
Yeah, I mean, he was
all right for himself.
Yeah, he was one of those weird, like, kind of pivotal moments in the Attitude Era, and that's fucking X-Pac.
Weird, right? So weird.
Yeah.
But yeah.
DDJ, what'd you rate this match?
You know, I'm going to give it 3/4 star, and this is why. Just because, yeah, the match was bad, but I kind of actually liked seeing, this is kind of really when you first saw, like, some cracks in the foundation of the NWO. It's like the first, because, you know, Nick Patrick was kind of like, I don't know, I think this is a little, and then DiBiase, he's like, you know what? He's like, you know, that's enough. Just finish him off. And then when he wouldn't, DiBiase is like, you know what? I'm done. I'm walking away. And that was kind of like that first real crack in the foundation and stuff. So I actually kind of like that, you know, the whole thing. But yeah, the match itself was not
good. This was a very WWF match for WCW. Yeah. You know what I mean? It was just a very like, hey, you have to tune in, you know, tomorrow night. God damn it, I paid for this shit, so I gotta see how fucking it... Fuck!
Fuck, you're so right, dude. God damn.
Yeah.
Well, the Meltzer gave it 1.5 stars.
No,
he was off on a lot of shit.
I think that's a bias match, especially if you're watching at the time and you're invested in the storyline, you're invested in the NWO. That is, like, absolutely a totally okay rating for this. And I mean that.
Now, that brings us to a Four Corners match where we're going to have to address the promo at some... But this is a weird match because it's a Four Corners match. It's Lex Luger versus Booker T versus Stevie Ray versus the Giant.
Yeah, we watched it.
We talked about the edit.
I'm gonna address my issues with the match real quick, and then we can talk about it real quick, get it out of the way. Why does this need to be a Four Corners match? Why couldn't have just been a traditional four-way match? Because they could have accomplished the same things without needing to tag in and out and have it be confusing. It made no sense because it functioned like a tag team match.
It had to do with Big Show doing the whole fucking giving up his spot, his opportunity. That was really the only is Big Show saying, oh, you know, trying to push Lex. That was it. It was the only reason why you had to tag in, so he could do the
They still could have done it. He literally could have laid him out with a choke slam and then had Luger stand next to him and gone, take the pin, buddy. And it would have made more sense. It would have made the match flow better. And I wouldn't have been so mad at it because it makes no goddamn sense.
But
the whole thing,
the actual work itself, especially, I mean, obviously, when the Harlem Heat boys were in the ring, you know, it wasn't that bad. I mean, it wasn't a good match by any means, but it was like a 1.25. It could have been worse.
Could have been better, too.
It could have been a lot better. Because Shane and Isaac are...
I think if you've never seen this match, it's worth going and watching because the story they told was kind of interesting, and just seeing the convoluted, fucked up mess that things could be is worth it. You know what I mean? To realize how bad, you know.
How bad it could be.
Yeah,
exactly. It was a mess, but the promos... all the promos, Big Show, but Lex Luger's promo was actually really good. No, I was like, I was expecting from him.
It was good for a Luke.
Yeah, that's all. The Booker T promo, the original. Mwah.
Mint,
chef kiss.
Mint.
Chef kiss. Italian chef kiss. Mwah.
I'm going to give this match a 1.
I'll give it a 1 in it. Whatever Shane said.
I think he said one
and a quarter. A quarter.
You already
drank because you agreed.
Yeah.
It was a little bit more than a match. Slightly more than.
I'll give it 1.5, just because I'm a Lex Luger guy, and he went over.
All right.
Okay. The Meltzer gave it a solid.
See, that's why I legitimately, other than New Japan stuff, I trust Meltzer stuff otherwise, because like even though his shit is weird, it just seems like his like personal preference. You know what I mean?
Yeah, his personal preference sucked. He thought that fucking...
Yo, that's
shit,
fine.
That match earlier was too...
You can... His preference can suck balls.
Ethan!
Ethan. OH.
He was in earlier.
IO.
Hey, look at you.
Thank you. Yeah.
DJ, bro. I'm from Vermont and I even know that one.
Yeah, well, welcome to Ohio State, baby. We're everywhere. DJ, anyway. You a college football fan? Real quick, I'm talking about... You a college football fan?
Not really, but I mean, I watch enough and I hear it enough that I know the thing, you know, because like
it's, I mean, buddy, listen, I know you live in Chicago, but you know, you have an open welcome to join the good guys.
Here we go.
You know, anyways, sorry.
Gonna be thrown around like a cheap piece of meat.
You're fucking Kobe.
Well, okay, well, since you're gonna take me out to dinner, you know what? Maybe
Kobe. He's a fucking Kobe ribeye. I see your marbling.
You know what? Take me out to a good burger joint. I'm good. I'm easy to please.
I'll buy you a shake and we'll fuck. How about that?
Whatever, dude. Whatever.
I don't know what we're fighting for here, but I'll give you an Andy J and a milk.
Yo, you shut the fuck up, you whore. Let's move on to the, I think, main event. Yeah.
Yes
it was the main event.
Where we have Diamond.
I like Smash a lot.
Taking on Randy Savage.
I like this match way more than
You like it way more than I do.
I fucking love both these guys. The finish was obviously fucked again.
The whole match was ridiculous. First of all, the ref is counting in the middle of the match while Bobby the Brain Heenan is like, they can go wherever they want. They could fight to the car park. They could fight to the back. The ref, 1, 2, 3. Nobody has any fucking clue what's going on. The right ear doesn't know what the left ear's doing. It makes no sense.
Whatever. I'm pretty sure Randy Savage kicked the kid in the face during this match at one point, and that
he was a crazy man.
I like his character work. He's
I don't know, like for
unhinged.
Me, like it was entertaining. It was entertaining.
Absolutely,
yes,
it was extremely entertaining.
It was a terrible match.
And we talked about how it's 10 years ago today that we lost Randy Savage, but one of the best about the Randy Savage story, in terms of Randy as overall, was this match, because we all know what DDP has gone on record to say about Savage, especially pertaining. And I think watching it for the first time in a really long time, it just kind of hit home with me just because of, really what you think about what this match did for DDP.
Oh, yeah.
And,
no.
And I don't know, dude. There was something about, everything involved in the finish. It was, obviously more geared towards, the NWO Nick Patrick storyline.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, he beat him clean.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
not only did
he
beat him clean,
Triple H'd him.
Exactly, he fucking gave him that. He gave him that fucking diamond. Yeah, he laid on him for 50.
This match,
and it made and credit to Randy.
The only thing I didn't like about this was that what really should have been DDP's crowning moment to that point, it got overshadowed by all that stuff that happened afterwards and stuff. And that kind of soured me a little bit on that, because it should have ended with DDP celebrating in the ring and they talking about how this is easily the biggest win of his career. And then all this NWO stuff, happened and that. And
it was all about that.
Exactly. And that's kind of one thing going back and watching this match earlier this afternoon, I hadn't.
Shane, what were you saying? Were you saying the same thing?
Yeah, no. I was gonna say that really soured match as well. Was just and you guys know I don't normally harp on these kind of things. It's not really my thing. I'm really an in-ring guy. That that's what I really like. Mm-hmm. But it really, really, really bothered me that DDP never. Me neither.
You know what? It's gonna be on to bigger and better things. That's all I'm gonna say about it.
Yeah.
What I was this kind of, this match really put over the Diamond Cutter, which really put over the RKO.
Yeah.
without this match, who knows where Randy Orton hangs up, ends up, and I know that's the butterfly effect, and who knows what happens where, or whatever. But it is kind of something fun to think about,
that
right?
That was one of the first, because he usually called.
Oh yeah,
he almost always called. He hit that. Way.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I think the only other time, and and what was I think a couple months prior to this, was that one where he kind of hit it out of nowhere when he dressed up as La Parca.
Yep. Yep, exactly. And that was for the big pop. But yeah, exactly. This was definitely gave birth the majority of fucking.
Yeah.
For me it was.
Yeah. And again, you talk about what this did for DDP, and just knowing everything that we know now about the kind of guy, it couldn't happen to a better.
He is incredibly infectiously positive, almost to the point where.
Not even so much that. It's just you think about the things what he's doing outside of the ring, basically how he saved, the lives of Scott Hall and Jake Roberts, and just what he does with his yoga and success stories
Arthur.
Yes. Yep.
Literally
the one where the dude couldn't walk. Right.
Yeah. He's the retired paratrooper. He works with special
ponytail.
Kids. Yeah, he's 300 plus pounds walking on crutch. By the end, is running. Almost every time I have to fight back.
DDP.
He's legit. So
just the guy. He's the guy.
hats off to him, even if you buy a cameo playing a fucking DDP yoga advertised. But yeah, no, this match for me was actually really, really
fun. You are so out of control.
Dude, the only reason that I gave it a higher mark than the fucking Ben and the finish on the he beat him, even if it was to make the NWO have dissension.
And I was gonna say, and I like your assessment on that, because like I said before, I didn't like how what should have been moment got overshadowed by all the NWO drama. But see, that NWO drama didn't factor the match, so that's kind of where I, you know, like you said, I'm sorry, Isaac, what did you rate that match again?
I gave it a 3.5, but I got to say, Shane, when you make that face, when you lose your chin like that, you got a James Ellsworth thing going on.
Oh, damn.
I mean,
I was like all Tony Schiavone until you lost him.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I'm going to see your 3.5, and I'm gonna raise it a quarter star. I'm gonna give it 3.75.
Ooh.
You guys are out of fucking control. Are you kidding me?
I'm agreeing with the 3.5, so I don't know.
All right, Shane, where were you at?
Oh, really?
Yes, no, really.
Really?
Really? What did you think? I want to hear your...
Dude, I thought it was like a 2.5.
Wow.
It was just a bunch of, like, bullshit big boy brawling. And, like, the story they told was great, and it was good. And I like the stuff that they did with the NWO, and I like the cracks, and I like all of that. But, like, boy, as a match, this was not that good. Really, at all. This was also really as like 1997 WWF as you could get. It was all storyline, man.
I love 97.
I know you do, and I don't, I guess. Crap.
So
that makes our cumulative that gives our cumulative rating 3.31. The Meltzer rating is 3.25.
Wow.
All right, so where do we all land on the
better than Revenge of Taker?
It was
Revenge of the Taker?
I don't know. We don't have a spreadsheet of this shit.
I don't remember. It was bad. It was a bad half, maybe at one.
You know,
Two and a half stars.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Shane on that. I was a half stars over.
You know what? I'm gonna fun stuff. Way more.
Yeah, that's gonna be fun.
It was a lot of fun. Even if it was ridiculous.
And it'll be really fun to explore, you know, especially the rest of this year, you know, with the rest of the WCW with Isaac Dozer and...
I've never watched.
So, I do have to say, next week we're going to do NXT TakeOver Rival.
Because we still
can't do our Evolution. I'm going to say card subject to change should something else come up, somebody actually get back to us.
We got a couple of different things going on. We got fingers.
Yeah.
Like all in all, we're just having
fun. And you know what? And that in the end, it's all about having fun. And again, guys, I feel like could have done a lot better. I mean, you guys kind of know not only
DDJ.
You don't need to do all that at all.
Here's what we're gonna say. Check out DDJ on WhatDJ. What do you say on Twitter?
Because
he's
the most knowledgeable of the three of us. He's
a wrestling savant. He's a wrestling savant. And maybe if we are lucky, if we at SGS are lucky, we might be able to sort of incorporate him.
We may be able to work something out, but we're... Whatever happens, at What Do You Say with DDJ on Twitter, you will be able to figure out where you can listen to his other shows. They're all great. I recommend giving them a listen.
Definitely. 100%.
So in light of recent events, of which I will not go public with on here for obvious reasons, I've got a few episodes lined up because I had planned on banking a few episodes. Because, again, those of you who... Obviously, you guys know, and some of the listeners that I've seen comment on kind of, I'm going to be having next week to repair a torn meniscus and have my ACL reconstructed. So I had the mindset that I needed to get a few episodes in the pipeline just to, so I have some content to come out for the next couple of weeks, because I'm not going to be able to get around too well and stuff. So, and in light of recent events, I'm not quite sure where I will be. I have an idea of where I'm going to go with in terms of uploading my show. But once I, hopefully I'll have that figured out within the next couple of days. And once that's the case, I'll be sure to not only post on my socials and stuff, but with you guys as well, too.
And we will most certainly let you know.
Yeah, I was gonna...
Until next time, I am Doze. That up there is Isaac. Over there is Shane. And that is the incomparable.
He did it again.
The only DDJ.
Oh, he did it again. He pointed right.
Till next time, we love you all. Good night. Yeah. Thank you for listening to tonight's episode of Such Good Shoot. Please join us next week as we review WWF In Your House, Cold Day in Hell.